all the things you would want to happen if you actually would throw yourself out there and be vulnerable and say, can I pray with you? And that's what this woman shared with Amy. She was like, you're not going to believe it. And Amy was like, I bet I will believe it because I know the God that I'm talking to you about and I know how he works. And we can't always expect that that will happen. But I will tell you this much, we should never expect that it wouldn't. We should never make our prayers too small. Pray big.
Welcome to Study with Friends. We're a group of women studying the Bible together, inviting you to join us as we deepen our relationship with God through his word. This week is part 3 of our study in the book of 1 John. If you need to catch up with us, please get to our website, studywithfriends.org, and pull up the series in the search box. You can listen there online or search us on iTunes. That's studywithfriends.org. While you're there, click on your favorite social media channel in the upper right-hand corner of the site to follow us for daily inspiration from God's word. You'll find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We provide inspiration and encouragement in your feed every day. Let's talk a little more about trust and obedience in the book of 1 John.
1 John 4:4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. So that is, I believe, referring to these little a antichrists.
Thank you for
1 John 4:4.
I rephrased it as the Spirit of God in us is stronger than of those in the world that are false. If it was a linear book, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them. In my version, it says have overcome them, almost like past tense, like this is the end result, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. So it's almost like to wrap it all up, you know, we did this obey, trust, obey, trust, obey, trust. And now, bam, this is why.
Yeah.
And this let me
flesh it out, because what is reverberating in my spirit is that what I think she's saying, or at least scratching at the surface of, is that John in the entire book is saying trust and obey, trust and obey. And those are, as we said earlier, their actions and their feelings. We have to participate in those all the time. And we have to make sure that we're intentionally doing both things. But take comfort, no matter how well you do that or how poorly you do that. Yes, you should be doing the trust and obey. But he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You have already overcome.
Right.
Whether you ever trust or obey the right way or not. And that's what I thought she was going for. That's a great way to conclude, even though it's in the middle of chapter 4. It's a conclusion he's drawing. Exactly what you were saying. You are accountable to trust and obey, but you're not on your own. That God has already overcome all the things you're trying to overcome with your trust and obedience. He's already at the finish line, and you are there with him. And that's what I thought was spectacular about that little piece of wisdom from Caroline Flynn. Does that help? Yeah, I thought that was really good.
That's later you asked the question, what tools do you have to keep you in this cycle? And I wrote, keep that eternal perspective, meaning eternity has already started. As soon as you became a believer, your eternal life has begun. You play out some of it on earth, and then but you're really already in heaven.
Never thought about that.
On a spiritual level.
You got your ticket.
Right. You're already there. You just haven't
physically gotten there yet.
Yeah. So.
Well, let's come back to that and talk more about that, because I think that is an appropriate conclusion. Okay, Marilyn, there's one more from chapter 4 that I would really love to put on the diagram, or at least talk about, since you guys are putting question marks and you don't know where to put stuff. That's okay. I just want to talk about it.
Busted.
In the trust, obey conversation, can we talk about chapter 4, verse 11?
1 John 4:11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. 1 John 4:11. And I would put that under obedience.
Yeah. I thought that was a pretty simple one. Easy to classify on the diagram, not so easy to do. Right?
No.
Okay. I just wanted to say that. But I can't say that that's easy in any way except where it would fit in our trust and obey. Although you could pull trust out of there, because it starts with if God loved us.
Right. We have to.
If you trust that's true.
Yeah. I put it under trust.
Yep. So. And outcropping is. Yep. See how that
your
works?
Your action of loving one another. Yep.
Is an outcropping of your trust in God's love for you. And it's actually also a trust in his love for that person. Like, I don't really like you right now, but I know God loves you, so I'm going to love you because Jesus lives in me. And
well, and who
we'll
is
get there.
You? Is it other believers or all humans?
All. I think so.
Yeah.
I
always
know.
Think
you might
all.
Be able to argue it's other
well,
believers.
I think we're supposed to love everybody as best we can. I think we're supposed to hold other believers accountable in a different way.
I've just heard it taught that our first allegiance is to other believers.
Yeah.
And of course, you love non-believers, you share the gospel with them, you pray for them to receive Christ, but our first allegiance is...
What does allegiance look like in that scenario?
Prioritizing fellowship with one another, building each other up, I think supporting each other. Honestly, even in the marketplace, I would go to the hair salon of a believer before the hair salon of a non-believer, because...
If you knew that.
And through that, loving other believers, non-believers see your love and want to be a part of that community, that's what draws them to the church, is seeing the love of believers within one another, amongst one another.
I think we're actually saying the same thing.
Right.
Although
not that you're unloving to non-believers, but
I think you added a layer, which was great.
The supporting.
Yes, supporting
I get
and fellowship
more than, I mean, we're always taught be kind, golden rule, be kind to everybody, non-believer, believer. Mm-hmm. But I get that. And I support the especially, businesses, things like that. And
well, especially in our culture, because
if the
community of believers is not supporting like a Chick-fil-A when that whole thing went down and then the culture was very angry. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, Chick-fil-A is flourishing now, which God bless them for standing up and taking a chance to say what they felt was God's truth. But if we don't come around them, we do still live in the world. And if we don't come around those who God calls off the bench to be a voice, we can't let them be alone. Mm-hmm. And because they'll get destroyed by the world. So in that way, I totally agree. Business and what I said earlier, which is holding each other accountable, fellowshipping with believers. But of course, I think we would all agree as well. You've got to be out there in the world shining a light. Someone brought you in.
Sure. Right.
You got to get out there and make sure that the people that God has placed in your path,
Your
neighbors, coworkers, grocery store lady, whatever, that you're living your life in a loving way. That's a testimony to the love of Jesus Christ.
I just think we've weakened the Christian community, the church. And I think there's a reason why, a church discipline, for example, habitual sin is, you put them out of the church. It should be a terrible hardship to be put out of a church because it's such a loving, strong community. And what do you mean I can't attend anymore? Well, you're not following whatever.
Yeah.
I think that's another reason why.
That's a Bible study for another day. Yeah.
The church should be so attractive because we love one another so well that we don't give up meeting together. We pray for each other. Mm-hmm. We share an encouraging word.
I agree.
Fellowship of
the
people
should
be
so really attractive.
Aroma of Christ that should be just a draw to the believer and even the non-believer.
You're right about that. That's for sure the truth. I agree with that.
I don't think we do that well.
I don't think we do that well either.
And I was thinking when you were talking about your friend and you were talking in the parking lot, if you're anything like me, you would have probably felt awkward to say, can I pray for you? Like I would have hesitated and probably not offered to pray with that friend who could have used a prayer because sadly we're not comfortable with each other
in the church
church. Like why would I hesitate to pray with another believer
who goes to my church
I hesitate.
I mean, not to get into this, but I'll just say it, I'll throw it out there because I can, because I am Catholic, but like there's also a traditional way that one's church, meaning building or particular denomination, has been raised and it's changing within our church with the younger kids. I see it, but rarely have I ever had another practicing Catholic say to me, well, let's just hold hands and pray about that now. It's just not, I mean, my first
culturally,
time, my first time at MOPS, when we said, let's bow our heads and pray, I do the sign of the cross and I'm like, oh, okay. All right then, we're praying over somebody or praying. Right. I think it's very unique too, to the denomination or tradition of what you're used to.
I'm rolling back in my mind. That first Bible study must have been culturally shocking to you. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. But like it's
the scripture says, pray for one another. Says to do that, but
we worked it out
of our culture for some reason.
But for us, it's a Sunday, this particular part of the Mass, let's bow our heads and pray. And certain people are named and things are named, intentions are named. It's very structured.
It has a place, it has a time.
It's structured. It's tradition, and it's not bad. It's just
incomplete.
Yeah, and I guess it's just what you're used to, this particular friend, no, you know, because I know her so well, she's one of my best friends. I didn't, but yes, I totally get what you're saying. Like, yeah, it's not something that I would, right. You do kind of feel like,
Let me just say this. That's like the final frontier of being out there with your, I really think, to say, can I pray with you right now? Mm-hmm. I have a friend who, I have two friends, actually. They're a couple. They're great. Love you guys. They are what's called corporate chaplains. And what they do is they are hired by a Christian business owner, a Christian company, who may or may not have all Christian employees. Nobody has all Christian employees. And they come in and they just do talking. They just talk to people. Of course, the person who hired them knows that the ultimate goal is prayer, faith, salvation, where it's not in place. And she was just talking to me yesterday about saying, I mean, this is her job. This is what she does. And God is opening doors all the time for her to say, can we pray about that right now? And she still hesitates sometimes. I think that it's really intimate also. It's a really intimate thing.
Well, you're putting yourself in a very vulnerable position.
Mm-hmm. My husband does it all the time. He's on the phone with his friend. Well, let's pray about that. And they'll pray over the phone about, you know, and I'm so envious that he's so comfortable to do that. And I'm not.
And I do think that it's one of those things that you boil the frog. Like once you've done it a couple times, it gets easier to do it.
Sure.
Yeah. But I also want to say it's hard for most people.
Mm-hmm.
Joe is different if it's easy for him or he just really well practiced at it. Because I would say, do you agree it's really hard for most people? Marilyn. Hi, Marilyn.
Hi. I think, yes, until you've done it a few times and it does become easier.
Yeah.
I mean, there are many people who won't even pray aloud, like, at all.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what I mean. There's almost a
after years
spectrum.
Of attending a Bible, it's like, we need to challenge ourselves to step out and, you know, practice these disciplines of the faith.
That may be a cultural thing, too. Mm-hmm. You know, the first time someone said to me over the phone, let's pray, I went, gee, what a wonderful idea.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Why not? I thought of that.
And so the first time I said that to someone, it was I was involved in an Alpha course and he was expressing some anxiety about the next meeting. And I said, why don't we pray about that? And he said, over the phone? Are you kidding me?
His anxiety shot up through the roof.
Exactly.
Well,
it's a culture
foreign.
Thing.
It's a foreign thing.
But I think Carol's point is good that it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be. Should be our go-to, but that's okay. I mean, this is where we fall short. But that's a good goal. Yeah, doing it on the phone, praying on the phone. A couple people have done that in my life too. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. That's a weird, it's always comforting. I'm always glad. But for me, I feel like I need to hold your hand if I'm going to be praying with you. Or at least they need to be in the room with you. But that's not true. So,
well, it's just like saying to someone when they share a problem with you at the end of church or something and you say, I'll pray for you.
Yeah.
What's wrong with doing it right now?
That's what Amy was saying. The woman that I was talking about who's a corporate chaplain. She's like, I can make a choice that says, I'll pray for you. And that's actually a distant. If you think about it, it's a distancing thing.
Right.
It's almost like a conversation ender, right?
Right.
Where you're telling me all your problems and I say, I'll pray for you. Doesn't that kind of indicate it's time for you to be done talking about that?
Sure. Yeah.
Yep.
And so I think we need to be sensitive to that. And she said this particular story, actually asked her to blog it. Now that we've talked about it, I'm going to have to light up the fire so we can put it up as soon as we have this broadcast on. But she said that this particular woman, not a believer at all, and Amy would always say, I'll pray for you about that. And this woman would say, okay, yeah, whatever, dude, right? And then there was a situation, this particular woman's son is in the military and was, you know, one of the weeks that they went in to do their chaplaincy, she was expressing anxiety. And I can't even imagine the level of anxiety you live with as a constant hum if your child is in the military. And so Amy said, can I pray with you about that right now? And she said, no, thank you.
Oh, all right.
Well, that's honesty.
And which is like, yikes. Okay. And then Amy said, okay. And I'll be praying about it. And the lady's like, thank you, which is great because there's so much to that, you guys, because we never put ourselves in situations like that. But she's throwing herself into that situation every day in a different workplace. So it's pretty awesome. But she said the next week, because they visit weekly to all these companies, the next week she came back and the woman made a beeline for her and said, would you pray with me? And Amy was like, what? And the woman said to her, I don't know why I said no to you. Why would I say no to that? Awesome. That was so crazy. Of course I want you to pray with me. And so she prayed right then. The next week, Amy came in and the lady said, you won't believe what happened.
Oh, cool.
And Amy was like, I bet I will. and so what they had prayed was that, I don't want to give the spoiler, I want her to write the blog, but what they had prayed was that God would actually give this woman a tangible sign that her son was okay. And when she went home from work that day, she's in a closed Facebook group of military moms and someone had posted a picture of her son.
Wow.
Someone else's child.
Oh, wow.
Who's also in the military. Yeah. They don't necessarily know each other at all. And there was her son smiling back at her the day that they prayed together, would you show me that my son is okay?
That's awesome.
And then 2 days later, she gets a letter from her son saying, I'm okay. It's hard. I've started going to church. Can we start going to church when I get home? All the things you would want to happen if you actually would throw yourself out there and be vulnerable and say, can I pray with you? And that's what this woman shared with Amy. She was like, you're not going to believe it. And Amy was like, I bet I will. I bet I will believe it because I know the God that I'm talking to you about and I know how he works. And we can't always expect that that will happen. But I will tell you this much. We should never expect that it wouldn't.
Yep.
We should never. And you know this about me. I'm looking at you, Caroline Flynn. That we should never make our prayers too small. Pray big. Just do it. What are you afraid to make a fool out of God? Do it. He won't be made a fool of. So anyway, that's a great example of loving each other, praying for each other. Like it says in verse 11, always loving one another like God loves us. Not always easy. Lots of ways we can fall short or mess it up. But when we do it really well, we get blessed too. You know, Amy just loved her up, even though she said, no, thank you.
At least she was polite.
Yeah. No, thank you. Okay, let's move into chapter 5, verses 13 and 14.
Yep. So 1 John 5, 13 and 14. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. That is 1 John 5, verses 13 and 14.
And where, Caroline, would you have put that on your trust obey circle?
I stuck it right on one of those scrolls, like smack dab linking both.
Yeah.
It's another nugget. Pray big.
Yeah. Yep. Anybody else have comment or insight on that particular verse?
I put it under trust, believing in God, believing that you have eternal life. Having confidence that he'll answer us if we ask him.
Yeah. That's a big T, trust. Because we really lean a lot on that. Everything leans on that. Everything rests on that. What do you think?
I agree. I put trust in it. It also makes me think you have the verse, I believe it's in Hebrews, talks about you have to have faith or it can't come true. Like you have to pray that it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, although I think he's talking about salvation and you have to have faith that God exists. But this point is that you have to believe that it's going to happen as you pray. Where is that?
I mean, the belief really is a function of trust.
Right.
So it's all tied together.
Right. That he's able and willing to answer both.
Okay. Then I also, right next door, wanted to look at 16.
1 John 5:16. If anyone sees his brother commit a sin that does not lead to death, he should pray and God will give him life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. There is a sin that leads to death. I am not saying that he should pray about that.
Okay, that was a complicated one.
Yeah,
I actually should have given you a space to rephrase that. Yeah. Let's workshop it now. Who wants to start? Let's start at the back end of that. I think it helps us understand the front end. There is a sin that leads to death. No one should pray for that. What is the sin that leads to death?
Unbelief.
Right. You guys get that?
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's talking about. That stubborn, stiff-necked, hard-hearted sin that
why
says...
Why wouldn't you pray for that, for the person?
What we're saying is you don't pray that God moves through that, moves past that. We don't pray that God overlooks that.
Okay, I see.
Okay? This is what I interpret this to say. We don't pray that God overlooks that. And we don't pray that God overlooks any sin.
Right.
But that's why I think we have to look at the back and then it informs the front. So what we're saying is it's about grace, Carol. So if anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he asks God for grace. God, give him grace because no one comes back but through grace, right? We love him because he first loved us. So none of us come back because there's anything good in us. Sure. We come back because the spirit that lives in us provides grace and brings us back to his loving embrace.
Right.
My gosh, there have been so many times in my life where I'm watching a friend or a family member go through a season of sin and I'm praying for them. Please, God, mm-hmm. grace, mercy on this. This is bad.
Right.
But she needs you. That's what they're talking about. And I still would pray that for a non-believer. Mm-hmm. But he's saying we don't overlook that. That's what I think he's saying. We don't overlook that sin. We don't ask God to just have grace and let him into heaven anyway.
Right.
You see the difference?
I think it makes sense because earlier where it says pray that God would give him life, mm-hmm. it means like re-energize their faith, re-energize. Mm-hmm. Whereas if they don't have faith, there's other prayers to be focused yes. on. But when, if they're a believer.
Big L life.
Right. Then I pray that despite the sin, that God would give them life, that they would return in faith, that they would
yeah.
commit to repentance or yes. whatever.
And where does that come from? But that God
the
is.
The spirit already yes, in the person.
That's right. Exactly right. Yeah. What were you going to say?
I hated this verse. I just totally, what? I could just picture him. I'm not saying that. Like, you know, just back and forth. But yeah. now that you kind of unpacked it in that manner.
Was that helpful?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Makes better sense.
Yeah. I mean, listen, John is not easy to read.
Yeah.
None of his books yeah. are easy to read. The hardest, I think, obviously, Revelation.
God, yeah.
But even the Gospel of John, he just has a winding, very lofty sort of communication style. And so he's not the easiest to read of the inspired authors of the Bible. He's not. But there's so much in there. You don't run away from it. And that's one of the reasons we chose 1 John, because there's a lot that could confuse you. So this is a great book to take thematically, because if you're just not sure what the heck he's talking about, can you find an anchor in trust and obey? Which is really globally what we're trying to do for all the books, but is maybe especially helpful for a book authored by John, because he does have that meandering
yeah.
way about him. I mean, but the truth is, even Revelation, you can do that. Revelation is defined by John 3:16.
Right.
For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's really what Revelation is about. So it's feels like crazy town. You get down into Revelation.
Oh, yeah, we did it.
And you're like, yeah, what yeah. in the Sam Hill?
Was not.
But if
my
you
favorite.
Have an anchor, right? if you have an anchor yeah. that says, this is really about yeah. Jesus Christ, the end, then all of a sudden you have a way to look at it that makes it relevant and easier to understand, and less, you feel less like a reed flapping in the breeze. Like, I have no idea what he's saying.
Right.
If you assume that what he's saying is Jesus Christ, then you can
Victorious.
Pull everything back to, that's like a magnet. By the way, the whole Bible is about that. So if you need to really anchor through the whole thing, Jesus Christ, there you go. Bible 101 in 30 seconds. Marilyn, you look like you wanted to say something about that one.
We identified the sin that leads to death as being unbelief. Well, the Bible doesn't contradict itself. So Jesus said he's the only way. No one comes to the Father except through him. And that we have to confess and believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. So if we don't have that, we already brought up the aspect that the Holy Spirit isn't in us mm-hmm. if we don't have that relationship. If we're unbelievers, then God isn't going to overlook our sin.
That's right.
Our sin is overlooked because of what Christ did for us.
That's right. And because we accept the free gift of what Christ did for us. This is the tricky part. When we say our sin is overcome because of what Christ did for us, it doesn't rest there in a passive way,
right?
Or else everyone would be getting to heaven. And be good for goodness sake is the right thing. And pretty good is good enough. That's not the case. The truth is, Jesus Christ did a work on the cross, but we have to meet him there. The only way to heaven is through the cross. You can't walk next to it and get to heaven. You can't walk around it and get to heaven. There's a door in the cross. That's it. That's it. You got to walk through that door. You can't pretend the door is not there. There are good things, good ideas in this world, but that's as far as they're going to get you, is this world.
We are so glad you listened today. We believe these Bible studies can be a good resource no matter where you are in your spiritual journey. If you are new to the Bible, curious but not ready to go to church, this is a way you can explore. Or if you're a seasoned veteran of the faith, each time you study, you gain something more. Either way, we hope you found something in today's study that blessed you. We're listener-supported, so we do rely on your prayers and financial support. February is the month of our annual fund drive. Would you prayerfully consider helping to financially steward the ministry of Study with Friends? You can donate easily online at studywithfriends.org/donate. That's studywithfriends.org/donate. Honestly, hearing from you would make our day. We're always passing the emails around to celebrate that you cared enough to reach out, and we pray for you too. So if you're blessed by us on this station, please let us know with an email to info@studywithfriends.org. We believe strongly in the local church. If you don't regularly attend Sunday worship and a small group Bible study, please find one. Make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week and in every small group situation. Next week, we'll talk more about the book of 1 John. See you next time on Study with Friends.